Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
So welcome to Palm Sunday, officially. This is the beginning of Holy Week. It's the beginning of where we move towards Easter Sunday. And this weekend kicks off our kind of our experience, our focus. And so glad you guys are here. We have a Good Friday service coming up, and that's the big thing that we'd love for you to be a part of. It's at Metro, our second campus, and we did that last year, and it was a blast. We had standing room only, and it was a communion service. It was powerful. Love for you to be a part of that. So if you're skipping town, if you're going to go away for the weekend to spend Easter somewhere else, Good Friday service, make sure you come to that. And then we got Sunday morning services here and at the other campus as well. We're excited. I mean, Metro, we're excited that we're going to be with you on Good Friday. But on Sunday morning, we got services there, here, and live stream. So if you can't make them, if you're working, we'd love for you to jump online as well. Hey, this morning, though, we're pretty excited to kick off Holy Week. We got Pastor Theo in the house. Yes, we're excited about that. Yeah, he's been a part of us. He's preached here before, and just love this guy. And he's a pastor of Grace Church, Charlotte, and also he works for the Popo. He does. He works for the Popo. And so, hey, can you give him make some noise for him? Can you go crazy for him? Let's put our hands together. Pastor Theo, come on out. Come on, bud. Come on. Come on. Awesome.
Amen.
All right, brother.
Amen. Yeah, I work for the Popo. So for everybody that's not engaged or giving me energy in this service, I will arrest you when this is over. Amen. So good to be here this morning. I'm humbled always to serve and be with family, but there is a word from the Lord. Amen, this morning. Shout out to Metro. What's good, y'all? Yeah, I'm back. Amen. Good to see you guys. Love you guys so much. Worship with us there. And everybody at Mosaic Online, love you guys so much. Really quick before we move forward, you always, always celebrate because you are what you celebrate. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in. I want to celebrate the angels of this house, the leadership, and that is none other than Pastor Naeem and First Lady Ashley Faisal and the entire Mosaic family. Can you give God praise for those awesome visionaries in this house? You always want to celebrate good people. We'll do. You want to celebrate good people. I also want to give a shout out to my angel, the barbecue on my McRib, my beautiful wife. She is the mother of my children. She is my everything. She's also the executive pastor of Grace Church. Will you give it up for my wife, Patrice? She's there. And just to warn you, all throughout the audience this morning, there's going to be some crazy people who love God and love Jesus and who are crazy like me. That's my family. That's my Grace fam. They're here this morning. We love you guys. Can y'all help me celebrate them? Celebrate them. Amen. This morning. And big shout out to Jessica, Joe, Lamar, and Greg. They multiplied this month. They have taken over our community Bible studies in small groups and how far God has brought them. So they're getting ready to impact ministry on a whole nother level. And we celebrate you guys this morning for that amazing commitment to ministry. Thank you and God bless you. How many of y'all remember me from last time? Y'all came back. Oh, snap. Amen. Well, you know I love energy. You know I love the worship. Before we move on, let's do a little song real quick. just kind of jump in with me. And if you don't know it, just do what, you know, Milli Vanilli did. It goes like this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Ooh, y'all got it. I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. Matthew 21. Can you imagine when we get to heaven, finally? It's going to sound and look like that. The only thing that we have in here that heaven won't have is coffee. Matthew 21, if you have your Bibles, great. If you got your Bible apps, even greater. And if you just came totally unprepared, you just don't believe in bringing your Bible to church, we have it on the screen for you. Matthew 21, there is a word from the Lord, and I want to encourage your hearts today. There are going to be two types of people that are going to hear what God is saying this morning. One, there are going to be those who are on the brink of losing hope. That may be you. And two, it's going to be those who are on the brink of losing their hope but don't know it. And I have a word for you both. Now, can we read together? Can we do that? Will y'all participate? Can we read together? We can? Cool beans, cool beans. All right. So, Matthew 21, verse 1, we're reading from the NLT, and you will see it also on the screen. Here we go. And Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem. They came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them, steal them, and bring them to me. If anyone asks you, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. We're going to jump down to verse 8 for time's sake. Verse 8 says, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, my God, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heavens. Would you do me a favor? And is that me? That's Joe. Would you do me a favor? And we're going to go churchy really quick. Would you, don't worry, we use Germix, but high five the neighbor next to you. High five them. High five the Metro and online. And say, neighbor. Time out. I hear my wife. I don't know what this part doing. Everybody say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
That was so good. That was it. That was it. Woohoo. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
The king.
The king.
Is coming.
Is coming.
But you.
But you.
Only.
Only.
Have to do.
Have to.
One thing.
One thing.
And that is.
Get
to Sunday.
Clap
your hands, everybody. Get to Sunday. Lord, let your word have free course and be glorious, even as it is with us in Jesus' name. Get to Sunday. Whatever you got to do, get to Sunday. Emily Dickinson said, hope, like on my sexy shirt. You got one. Oh, you got one too. Yeah. Yeah. Rock on, bro. Rock on. Right? I'm looking good this morning myself, if I don't mind saying. Emily Dickinson said that hope is that thing with feathers that perches on the soul and that sings or makes tunes without words. And never stops at all. Let's go there. Today is what we know as Palm Sunday. It's the inauguration of what we know as the Holy Week. It's the first day of 7 days that is going to launch Christ's suffering, his passion. As a matter of fact, just so you know, the word passion in this text actually means suffering. It's the inauguration of the Holy Week. It's the starting of what Jesus is getting ready to experience. It is the experience of the most historical agony, pain that we have ever known. The question I had when the Lord gave me this was one that it's not new, but I felt it. Jesus knows he's about to go through conflict with all the religious people, all the church folk. Just so you know, everybody that comes to church ain't God's people. It's some people whose job is only to use religion to agitate you. But don't worry, because they make you better and more like him. Might be sitting next to one. Don't look at him. Jesus knows he has to enter into the temple and drive out their business and these things that they brought into God's house. You know, like putting a Walmart in the church. Not a bad idea, but you can't do that. Jesus knows that he's getting ready to be betrayed by the dude that's dipping his hand in the dish. The dude that's been responsible for the money. The dude that's been one of the closest to Jesus. He knows. The disciples said, well, Lord, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? He's like, no, it's that fool over there in the guacamole dip. And the Bible says he leaves. Jesus knows he's about to be abandoned and cast away, trialed for a crime he did not commit, persecuted for a cause he did not create, killed for a sin he never introduced. Jesus, why do we call this Palm Sunday in Scripture the triumphant entry? Why is your entry into Jerusalem triumphant when you know you're about to die? Second question, Lord, if you know you're about to go through conflict, trial, persecution, pain, agony, betrayal, abandonment, and it's going to happen leading up to next Sunday, why are you in a hurry to go through it? Why is Jesus in a hurry to get to Sunday? Reminds me of a movie. Hit me. Starring award-winning Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is playing a character known as Chuck Nolan. And Chuck is what we call in the streets a baller. Chuck works for FedEx. Makes crazy good money. He's a workaholic. He's in a great relationship, but not ready to make the full commitment yet because he's trying to make money, grow his company, build his business, make it rain. Too soon? Chuck is at a holiday event, supposed to be spending time with family, has to go and handle an emergency situation, I think in Malaysia. Flies on a plane,
and the plane goes through turbulence, storm, crashes. Boom. Chuck becomes stranded on an island. Chuck becomes abandoned on an island, alone on an island, his plans jacked up on an island, hurt on an island, confused on an island, frustrated on an island, upset on an island, hopeless on an island. Everything his heart and mind had been working on has been ripped from him unfairly, and he has lost hope. For 4 years on this island, hopeless, he figures out how to survive. He figures out how to compensate for what he lacks. He lacks relationship, he lacks finance, he lacks companionship, he lacks purpose, he lacks the presence of God. And he has to compensate. Lo and behold, finds a ball. And this ball that does not even have the capacity to be what he needs. Whew, hear me now. This ball that was not created to satisfy his needs. He finds compensation in it, names it Wilson, gives Wilson a face, and Wilson, in his mind, becomes everything he needs. This morning, some of you have been abandoned, betrayed, disappointed, frustrated, hurt, abused. Maybe you just watched the news and you have felt this lack of hope. Others have had experiences, are watching the news, but your perception has not accepted the fact that you are struggling with hopelessness too. You don't say you're hopeless, but your behavior shows it. Your faith shows it. Because where you used to pray, you don't pray anymore. Where you used to get up and think about the Lord, he's not the first thing on your mind anymore. Where you would fast, or where church attendance was not even a question, where your commitment to God was not even arguable. You don't have that anymore. Like Wilson, you've experienced some pain, fam. You've experienced some pain. You've experienced some type of negative impediment or outcome or detriment. And to compensate for what you feel you are lacking, you've got yourself a Wilson. You were hurt, so instead of giving God time to come and fill that void, you went and got you a Wilson by getting another job. You went and got you a Wilson by getting into another relationship. Another one? You went and got yourself a Wilson by making investments, trying to pacify your need for accomplishment with worldly gain. You've went and made decisions that have further jeopardized the time you would spend with your family, yourself, and God. You are medicating like a drug addict, except you're not medicating with drugs, you're medicating with stuff. You're medicating with ambition. You're medicating with goals and accomplishments and things that you cannot take to heaven with you. Truth is, preacher, I don't believe like I used to. Somebody I thought would never hurt me hurt me. And then I'm really battling forgiving myself because of things I said I would never do. I find myself doing it. God couldn't love me. So instead of dealing with that, I get distant. and I compensate on the pain and frustration and the disappointment I feel with more Wilsons, more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. I don't want to deal with it. I just run from it, and I just get a Wilson. But I'm here to restore your hope, because the King is coming. How do you know he's coming, preacher? Because today you got here, and it's Sunday. In the movie, Chuck makes a decision, okay, I'm getting off this island. I'm getting ready to go. I will not walk in fear anymore. I'm about to get out of here. So he builds his raft after working on it for years. He ties him and Wilson up to the raft, and he goes out, and he sets sail, and he makes a faith leap. He says to himself, I can no longer stay in this situation. I've got to do something. He finally beats the oceans and overcomes the obstacle and falls asleep in peace with success, knowing that either he's going to die trying or something's going to happen. But he wakes up, fam. He wakes up. He wakes up, and he notices Wilson is floating away. His best friend is floating away. His dream is floating away. His companionship is floating away. His heart is floating away. All he has left. He can't afford to lose anything less. He can't afford to lose anything more. He can't afford to have the same situation that happened years ago happen again. I don't want what happened to me 10 years ago to happen again. So I'm going to control what happens in my life. I'm going to control my family. I'm going to control my children, what school they go to, what job we take, what friends we let in, who we make a commitment to. I don't want to experience the same thing anymore, so I'm going to be in control. But as my wife would preach so eloquently, where you are in control, you do not have to trust. If my wife's hands are on the wheel, she doesn't have to trust Theo's driving. If your hands are on the steering wheel of your life, if you got a Wilson, you're in control. But now Wilson's floating away. Chuck wakes up. Chuck stirs himself. Chuck is like, Wilson! Wilson! He dives in the ocean, going after Wilson to save Wilson's life. But Wilson's steady floating away. He's steadily moving away. And the pain and the fear, knowing what is happening again, to the point to where Wilson is unretrievable. And Chuck has to make a decision. Either I'm going to die going after Wilson, or I've got to stop, experience all this pain again, and find my way back to the boat. Chuck makes it back to the raft and lays down, falling asleep in pure anguish and emotional distress. Whew. And this is where God began to speak. God has been saying, I've been in control the whole time. Because watch what happens. He's laying down, and all of a sudden he hears what sounds like a cargo ship. But he can't talk because he's so exhausted. He can't move because he's so broken. But he hears a sound. It can't be. I've been hurt. I've been stranded. I've been alone. I've been frustrated for years. It can't be. I don't have any hope. But he hears a sound. So he squirms to get up to see. And his eyes are in agreement with his ears. And he sees the boat and becomes rescued. I'm talking to everybody in the room right now and at Metro and online. And that is that today you're hearing a sound. Your rescue is on its way. The truth is that the whole time Wilson was floating away and the whole time Chuck was experiencing pain, is that his pain was leading him to his rescue. It was showing that had I not experienced what I experienced, I wouldn't have prayed like I've learned to pray. Had I not gone through what I've gone through, I would have never fallen back in love with God again. Had you not lost some of your Wilsons, you would have never gained more of Christ. I'm here to encourage you. Thank you for them four hand claps. I appreciate it. But I'm going to keep on preaching anyhow. I'm here to restore your hope this morning that some of you are fighting to hold on to Wilson when God is saying, let Wilson go. Some of you are holding on to relationships and God is like, let Wilson go. Some of you are holding on to your money, holding on to your career, holding on to your objectives, holding on to your agendas, trying to be in control, but God is like, you are one more loss. You are one more pain. You are one more hurt. You are one more frustration from your greatest breakthrough, your greatest victory, your greatest promotion, your greatest success. If you will let him go, the pain will lead you to where I am. Oh my God, today. I'm here to let you know today that hope never left, hope never died, hope for all never expired. It was right where your pain was leading you. If you can acknowledge today that yes, I have allowed pain and drama and loneliness to lead me where I should not be, but Lord, I won't allow it to compensate me anymore. I won't allow it to be my medication anymore, because what I really needed was your presence. God, I realize now I didn't need those things. I just needed you, and I have fought my way. I have climbed my way. I have scrambled my way and got a cup of coffee, too, just to get here today. I made it to Sunday, and I'm not leaving here the same way I came in. I got like 70% compliance on clapping, but that's cool. I'm going to keep on preaching anyhow. Then Jesus takes me to the Word, and Jesus says, Theo, I'm going to answer your crazy question. First of all, you want to know why I would actually go through this and call it triumphant entry? You want to know why I would be agonized and crucified and beat and call it triumphant entry? I said, yes, God. Seems like an awesome question to me. He said, well, I'm going to answer your dumb question with an awesome answer. The reason it's called triumphant entry is not that I am going to get victory. It's a triumphant entry because Jesus is coming with victory. What he's saying is that if you can meet me on Sunday, I'm bringing victory with me. Oh my God, today. Hallelujah. And I said, okay, Lord, we'll break it down some more. He said, study the palm trees. I said, all right, that sounds dorky, but I'll do it. Study the palm trees. Study the palm trees. The palm leaves were symbolic of victory, not in the sense that we think, but in the sense, think about NASCAR, right? I'm a NASCAR people. Think about NASCAR. Palm trees and the palm leaves would be symbolic of the checkered flag. It means that you have won and finished the race. And so they're laying their palm leaves down to let you know that the race you have won and you have finished. But wouldn't that be dumb that Jesus is beginning a race? Why would they be saying that he's finishing it? That's because it is written. When he bowed his head, it was finished before it started. He had victory before Holy Week ever got started. So when he had conflict with the Jews, he still had victory. When he had to go through religious people, he still had victory. When he had to kick them folks out of Walmart because they brought him to church, he still had victory. When he saw Judas stupid self dipping his finger in the guacamole bowl, he said, boy, get your hand out of the guacamole dip. He still had victory. When he kissed him on his cheek and said, there is the man, and they chained him up and took him to the trial, he still had victory while he was in handcuffs. When they accused him and beat him and kicked him and stomped him all night long, he still had victory. Jesus, why in the world would you go through that? He said, because I've been waiting on y'all to get here to meet me on Sunday so I can get you to victory too. Listen, listen, last thing I'm saying, here's this. God has been using your frustrations to get, it's like X marks the spot. Had you not followed your frustrations, Had you quit, you would have missed the cargo ship coming by. Don't you know? I say it like this. When I talk to my big brother, Pastor Naeem, this is how we answer the phone. I'm like, hello? Hey, bro, it's Pastor Naeem. What's up, bro? You all right? You good? Yo, this is what I was thinking. I was like, cool, cool, what you thinking? And then in this conversation, Pastor Naeem started coughing on the phone. Now listen, I'm originally from America. I don't know where, you know, I know, Pastor Naeem, you from everywhere. But, you know, that's pollen where I'm from. He's like, I know, man. My allergy's been acting up. I said, what's wrong with you? You know, is it the crack again? Like, what's going on? He was like, no. He kept coughing and sneezing. But then it hit me. Oh, snap. You would think that the more trees we cut down, the more plants we unpluck, and the more medicine and science is developed, that we would have a cure for the allergies. What it let me know was, no matter what we have cut down, planted, or destroyed, or developed, pollen apocalypse is always coming. It doggone snowed in April, and the spring still came. Pollen still showed up and almost took my big bro out. I'm here to tell you today that no matter who has tried to cut you down, no matter who has tried to unpluck you, no matter what storms you have faced, no matter what frustrations you have battled, no matter what pain you have endured, just like the spring, just like pollen, the king is still coming. Oh, God, you can't stop him. You can't kill him. You cannot contain him, because he has you and me on his mind, and he is on his way to get his people. The king is coming. No matter what you or I did, no matter how many times you failed, stumbled, and you almost threw in the towel. Now throw my towel back. Throw it, boo. Get it, girl. Get it, girl. You know what? The king is still coming. He was willing to endure pain on last Sunday, pain on that Monday, pain on that Tuesday, drama on Wednesday, betrayal on Thursday, death on Friday, the graveyard on Saturday, just to meet you here this Sunday. What I'm trying to tell you, fam, is this. Thank you for the 95% head claps. It's 5% of y'all that's still tripping, but that's cool. We're going to end this message anyway. Don't give up now. Don't you quit. Don't throw in the towel, because you got to get to Sunday. Don't you get mad. Don't get on Facebook and start cussing folks out. Don't go to Starbucks stalking people. Don't go slashing nobody's tires. Don't cheat on your taxes. Go and see Avengers when it comes out. But get to Sunday. Listen to me. Don't you quit praying. Don't you quit reading. Don't you quit singing. Hope again, dream again, love again, give again, serve again, and please, please get to Sunday. Jesus is on his way, waiting. Keep clapping, I'm closing. Jesus is on his way, waiting for you to get there, waiting for you to get there. It's been a long time, but you still coming. Hang on in there and keep on coming. If I can just get to Sunday, will you do me one more favor? High five your neighbor for the last time. Now, stop being cute with it, Mosaic. Put some, I by now, by the power, the authority of the hood, deputize you to be ghetto for 1 minute. I said high five them, dap them up. You better put some swag on it, put some sauce on that high five. And tell the person next to you, tell them, neighbor, I see y'all my people, y'all got it, y'all got it, y'all got it. I said high five them and tell them, neighbor. Yeah. Don't tell me. I know what I'm saying. Tell. Look at them. 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 Tell them, neighbor. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. Hang on. Hang on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hope again. Hope again. Hope again. And for God's sake, for my sake, for your sake, get to Sunday. Yeah. Get to Sunday. Get to Sunday. Get to Sunday. Hey, glory. Get to Sunday. Monday, they're going to be tripping on your job. Get to Sunday. Tuesday, your mother-in-law going to call you. Get to Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know what you're doing Friday, but get to Sunday. Stand with me all over the place. Come on, give God praise again, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. That means clap your hands and tell God thank you. I want to pray with you. Can we do that? Father, we're going to leave instructions. God, help us to let go. Help us to let go and give total surrender. Jesus, number two, help us to hold on to that hope that needeth not be ashamed, that same hope you gave us on the cross, the same hope I read about in the Bible, the same hope that we preach, teach, and inspire in those today. Number three, give us the strength, Lord, to get to Sunday where you and your victory are waiting. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.